You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Bless your name, Lord. We give you glory today. This Easter day, this resurrection day.
Yes.
No bunnies for me. Jesus, you came out of the tomb. Mm-hmm. Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, you came out of the tomb, yes, blows Lord. Everything else away. Imagine it, you rolling, the stone rolling by itself, however that worked. I don't think you had to do any work, so the stone just rolls away, and you burst out of the tomb with resurrected glory, yes, Father. Yes, so much so people couldn't even recognize you. On the road to Emmaus, they couldn't recognize you when you show up. They're shocked at what you look like. They saw you as a person pummeled on the cross. And the next time they see you, the glory is shining from you, God. They're overcome. Their breath is taken away, Jesus. Let our breath be taken away today, Father, by the resurrection that you are.
Yes.
You didn't just resurrect. You are the resurrection and the life for us.
Lord.
And when you live inside of us, because we've invited you in, you open any tombs in us and bring resurrected life.
Yes.
Jesus, we need it today. We need it today. We need the tomb of fear just broken open into faith and joy and peace and protection that comes from you alone. We're your children. You're not going to forsake us. We're your children. We're in your family. You call this home to your family. You call this home to your heart. You won't forsake us in this time. No, Jesus. No, you're here. You're with us. You're behind us, in front of us, over the top of us, beside us, under us, inside of us.
Yes.
You've got us covered under the shadow of your wing.
Yes.
We take joy in that, Jesus. We take joy in that, Jesus.
Yes.
Just have to show you very quickly before Pastor Mary Pat comes that we have here a Bible leaf from the King James Bible in 1613. That means the Word of God has been true. This is Psalm 91, by the way. The Word of God has been true for 407 years. And then if the kids are watching, here's another Psalm 91 from 1568. So I want you kids to figure out how many years that is. And the Word of God was true back then. And the Word of God was true when Jesus arose from the dead. And the Word of God was before that and has always been true. The Word of God has always existed. He just revealed it to us. This is the precious Word of God. Whether it's 407 years old or whatever you figured out that this is, it's always been true. And Psalm 91 was true then for those who were sacrificed, sometimes burnt at the stake in order to produce the Bible. And it's still true for us in the midst of coronavirus. Jesus is the King over coronavirus, that's for sure. Amen.
Amen. Hi, everybody. Good morning and happy resurrection. This is such an exciting day. I'm just loving being here and loving sharing in worship to our holy resurrected King. And thank you for joining us today. So this is very, very, very wonderful. Mike's going to share communion in just a minute, and then I'll share more of the word. But I just want to draw attention to what the Lord's putting on my heart in Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 9, it says in verse 11, it says, when Christ appeared as a great high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood he entered the holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, now much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For this reason, Jesus, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance.
Yes, that is
for us today.
Thank you, God.
Wow. For where a covenant is, there must be a necessity to be dealt, the death of one who made it. There must be the death of somebody else. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but this is just so exciting to think about this. For a covenant is valid only when men are dead. Whoa. For it is never in force. The one who made it lives. Therefore, even the first covenant was not inaugurated without blood. So we are under a new and better covenant, and we celebrate Jesus. We celebrate you, Lord, being alive today. We celebrate you today. We celebrate this new covenant, the better covenant. We celebrate the blood of the Lamb. We thank you, Lord, that Good Friday ended up in Holy Resurrection Sunday, because Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. And we believe and we have eternal life as a result. So if you're tuning in today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, look up before your redemption is here. The Lord says you can come into my family and give your life to me, because I am the one who gave you, will give you, and has already done it, the great exchange. For my life was sacrificed on the cross, which included your life as well. And you can receive my new life, eternal life, and you can come into my family and know me as King, as Lord, and Savior, and be part of the eternal inheritance and the eternal redemption that we're talking about here because of the blood of the Lamb. Jesus is alive, and we celebrate Jesus. Sure, he's King over Corona. That's for sure. He's King. There's nothing that is greater than Jesus. But our focus isn't there today. Our focus is on the Lamb who was slain, who is risen, and who's coming again is the Lion of Judah. And we say, Ekbalo, send us God, release us into the harvest. Come, Lord Jesus, come again, because you're the judge of the living and the dead. And we give you our hearts and our lives today, for your blood speaks a better word.
Yes, it does.
So Mike's going to lead us in communion, knowing that, and thank you for tuning in and singing with us and singing worship to our King. And I believe we'll have a word after communion as well. So, Mike.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. As we get ready to step into a time of communion, this is such a joy. This is such a treasure to be able to be in the Lord's presence together all across the world. I mean, everyone around the world is joining right now to worship the King, to worship our Lord. He is risen. He's alive, as Pastor Mary Pat was saying. And one of the things that the Lord has been speaking to me recently is just that he is hope, that Jesus is hope fulfilled. That we're in any of our lives where we felt hopeless, where we felt down, that the Lord is saying, no, I've come to impart hope to you, that Jesus is hope fulfilled. You know, he imparts hope into our hearts, and then he actually releases the fulfillment, and he is the fulfillment of that. If everyone could just turn in your Bibles to John 11, 25 through 26, just give you a quick second to turn there. So John 11, 25 through 26, it says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And he's saying, do you believe this? You know, what's interesting is that Jesus actually spoke these words before he actually went to the cross, before he actually rose from the dead. He had not raised from the dead yet. But he spoke that in the present tense, because how many of you know everywhere Jesus went and what he does now, he speaks eternity. Every word that comes forth from his mouth has an eternal perspective,
right?
Because that's who he is. He's not bound by time.
No.
He's not bound by our own limitations. He speaks who he is. He is eternal. As we were singing this morning, that we are eternally grateful, and he has called us to be that. And so what happened when he rose from the dead, that he actually, the resurrection opened the door to the Great Commission.
Yes.
So that it didn't just stop at him raising. He said, now you go do the work.
That's right.
Now you go into the world, as Pastor Mary Pat was talking about. This is what I've called you to do. So let's turn to Matthew 28, 16 through 20. So Matthew 28, and we're just going to read over this real quick. Matthew 28, if you're just tuning in, if you could turn with me there. It says, but the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations.
Yes.
All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, that he is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. That as we go out into the world, as we are pondering his resurrection, as we are leaning into the hope of who he is, that we are able to impart hope to others through this powerful gospel that he's entrusted to us. You know, the gospel's so powerful. He's saying, just step out and he will empower you to preach, to heal the sick, to see those who are wounded or helpless. He's saying, I've called you to do the greater works.
That's right.
It even says at the end of the book of John that John couldn't even count all the works that could be, that Jesus did on the earth. It would be innumerable. The whole world couldn't contain it.
Right.
And he's saying, we are called to do greater works.
That's it.
So I encourage all of us to just step into that as we get ready to take communion, that we are partaking in his blood and his body that he so just amazingly gave for us. I just know for me personally, I've been just touched in a deeper way in this season. And so as we do that, and feel free, if you have your kids right there, you know, talk to them. You know, let's get together as families, as friends, and just let's take communion together. So I just want to go ahead and read one more verse. So we're just going to read in Colossians 1, 26 through 29. So as we get ready to step into communion. So Colossians 1, 26 through 29. How many of you love the word?
Yes.
I know I do. 26 through 29. Okay, it says, that is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but now has been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you guys catch that? The mystery of the ages is Christ in you,
yes,
the
Lord.
Hope of glory. This is something the prophets and the people in the Old Testament didn't have that we have.
That's right.
So we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose, also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. So that power and that hope mightily working within us that Jesus paid for at the cross. So bless you today as we take communion together. Just know that the Lord loves you, all of you, so much. He's with you. Amen.
Amen.
In Isaiah 8:13-14, it's such an amazing passage, just predicting and speaking of the coming of Jesus. As we know, there were so many prophecies in the Old Testament that were fulfilled in Jesus, and some are coming to be fulfilled as well. But this is one that really is so special to us today on the resurrection, because it reads in Isaiah 8:13-14, "It is the Lord of hosts whom you should regard as holy, and he shall be your fear, and he shall be your dread. Then he shall become a sanctuary, but to both the houses of Israel, a stone to strike and a rock to stumble over, and a snare and a trap for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Many will stumble over them, then they will fall and be broken." Jesus is a stone that makes men stumble and a rock that makes men fall. He is our stumbling stone. And it's so amazing that he calls us to be living stones. So we're not dead, inanimate objects. We are alive through the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
We're living stones. We are his hands and his feet. We're people who are saying yes and amen to holding fast to our confession of faith, believing that Jesus died on the cross, Jesus was buried for our transgressions, he became sin for us completely, was overtaken by sin to the point where his Father, our Father in heaven, had to turn away. And Jesus said, "Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?" Because he became us. You and me, all of us, from the very beginning. Before the foundation of the world, we know in Scripture that the Lamb was to be slain and was already slain in heaven, and then coming to earth to bring that fulfillment. So our slain Lamb, our risen Savior and Lord, whose blood has been poured out and shed abroad in our hearts for us, if we say yes and we know him, is alive. He is alive. He is not an idea.
Right.
He is not a concept.
That's it.
He is the living reality. He is life himself. And he is the living reality that so consumes us inside that he is just saying, "Let me loose through you because you're my hands and my feet. Let me speak through you.
Yes.
Let me do everything through you because I am the author and the finisher, the perfecter, the maturer of our faith."
Yes.
So this great faith that we are given comes from him. Inside of us, there is no good. When the King of Glory comes, the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence inside of us, then we are privileged to be able to tabernacle with him. Mm-hmm. He is the bread of life. We tabernacle with the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And we've heard many people in these last 4 to 5 weeks say, "Well, you know, it's really good to be shut up, and it's good to be at home, and get with your family, and get with your God." Maybe some would say that part. But in this season, when the Lord is doing something, and something so big, and we can obviously see that everybody around the world is being touched by the pandemic, everybody around the world is wondering, what's going on? What's happening? Is this the end of the world? Is this the last days? Am I going to make it? Am I going to be alive? Do I have the strength to go through next week? What if this hits me? What if this plague comes near my tent? How do I think about this? And with that in mind, every person is faced with Jesus, who is the stumbling block? He says, I'm the rock of offense. Everyone needs to fall or trip over me.
Yes.
I make a way because I am the stone that makes men stumble. I am the rock that makes men fall. It's really, really a significant thing in Matthew 16, in verse 21, 22, and 23. If you can turn in your Bibles for just a minute there. The Lord was just highlighting this to me so strongly, Matthew 16, 21 through 23, where the Lord was talking and predicting, he's predicting his death. It's very interesting. So he's alive, he's on this earth, and he foretells his death. So in 21, it says, from that time, this is after Peter had a confession of, who am I? Peter, who do you say I am? Jesus says to him. And he says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. Remember, before Jesus went to the cross, he was always drawing his loved ones in.
Yes.
He was always speaking to his disciples. He was always the sign and the wonder from heaven. Heaven's kiss to us. Mm-hmm. Everywhere that he went, everybody was everyone who sought him, everywhere that people encountered him, people were healed.
That's
people
right.
were in his presence. He didn't turn people away and said, I don't think I want to do that. No. He said, you come unto me, those who are heavy laden, and you are burdened. And you take your yoke upon me, because my yoke is easy and burden is light. Come and give your burden to me. Learn of me. So he was always inviting people into his presence. And any moment where there would be an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, heaven just exploded and people were saved, people were healed, people were delivered, people were brought in to the epitome of who Jesus
yes,
is.
Lord.
And he's calling for us today because he's no longer physically here. He's saying, I have sent someone else because I have to go be with my Father. So the Comforter, Holy Spirit, is here to take
yes.
up residence and live with us as Jesus is alive.
Yes, Lord.
He's here,
yes.
but you don't see him walking down the street at this point, as we did before he went to the cross. So he's here, he's alive,
yes.
he is seated at the right hand of the Father.
Right.
He is our Redeemer who lives. He is our resurrection and our life. But interestingly, as he was preparing to go to the cross, after he had this great time with Peter, he actually said, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven in verse 19, prior to verse 21, which we're getting to. He said, I say to you that you are my Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And he's the rock. Okay? He is the rock.
Yes.
He is the rock of ages. He is the stone that makes men stumble.
Yes,
he is
Lord.
The rock that makes men fall. And he says, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it.
No.
There is nothing that can stop the church of God. There is nothing that can stop the people of God. No,
no
plague, no government,
no.
nothing, no idea, no person, no science, nothing can stop
no.
our risen Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus, we declare this and we know Yeshua, and he's saying it right here. Nothing will prevail against me.
That's right.
No person, no family member, nothing. You are filled with me when I live inside of you by Holy Spirit. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. We're in verse 19 of chapter 16. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Whoa. Well, thank you, Lord. We release and loose healing and deliverance and salvation and
thank
hope. We thank you, Lord, that we release the spirit of the fear of the Lord, which is the
Lord.
Beginning of wisdom. We release you. We release
yes.
the spirit of revival. We release
yes.
you because you say to, because it's already loosed in the heavenly realm. And you say, I want to use my kids. That's us. There is nothing good inside of us except for him. Ultimately, he gets all glory because he holds dominion. The keys,
Jesus.
The keys have been given. He is the dominion. He holds dominion. He says, I have given you life, and I have said to you, life more abundantly shall be your portion. Do you believe it?
Yes, Lord.
When we would go to various countries, still do, Africa, India, many, many different countries, and we step out in faith and say, Lord, there's somebody who can't walk. Mm-hmm. I can't make her walk. Mm-hmm. I can't do anything.
That's right.
There's no word that would make this girl get up out of a wheelchair. But Lord, I believe your word. And your word says mm-hmm. that the lame shall walk, the dead shall be raised.
Right.
Those who are blind shall be able to see.
Yes.
The deaf will hear.
Yes.
That's what you said. You said, as you go, preach the kingdom. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise
yes.
the dead,
yep.
cast out demons. He says, freely you've received, now freely give.
Yeah.
I've personally seen so many miracles for quite a long time overseas, many different countries, many different experiences, and I'm in awe and humbled every time I even think of it. It brings me to tears because Jesus is the miracle worker.
Right.
We don't just sing about him.
That's
he
right.
is. And he says, release me. Release me through you.
Yes.
Speak out. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Do we believe the book? Do we believe it?
Yes.
I do. You do. Let's step out with no fear. Let's see what Jesus says right here about fear. Let's look at this. Love it. Verse 21, we're getting there now. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and he must suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised up on the third day. Can you imagine Jesus sitting there around the fire telling you that? It's like, what? Remember what he said to Peter? You know this. This has been revealed from my Father to you, so that's why you can say who I am. You are, and I bless you because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. Wow. Who do you say I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what Peter was able to do only by the Spirit. It wasn't a head thing. It was from his heart.
That's right.
But in his imperfection still, and he's wanting to believe that, Jesus says, I've got to mature you because you don't know what's coming yet. So I'm going to help you with that. So keep your eyes on me, Peter. Keep your eyes on me and watch what happens. Because I'm telling you right now that I'm going to be killed and I'm going to be raised on the third day. So what was Peter's response in verse 22? Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. Now, sometimes we might smile about that and think, well, you know, that's Peter. He's a little goofy there. He's just excited going, no, it can't happen to you because I love you so much. But if he really had heard Jesus, if he really knew who he was talking to, and if he really knew the power that was working in him and what he said and what came out of his mouth would be something very, very positive and blessed, or it would be something that would not bless. It either is from the Lord himself, or it's not from the Lord. And that's how God wants us to live our life in this day and age. Are my words in you? Are you speaking by me? Are you speaking by the Spirit?
Yes.
Are you living your life? Are you afraid of the coronavirus? Are you afraid? Don't be. Because Jesus says, I am not afraid. And whatever has been bound on earth,
that's right.
is bound already in heaven.
That's it.
Whatever is loosed on earth has already been loosed in heaven.
Yes, Lord.
Now that may shake you right now because that's what's going on all over the world. But the Lord says, I am your answer. I am the solution. Okay, you don't have to walk around carrying a sign that says, I'm social distancing. Okay? I'm not going to get into the discussion of who we obey, who don't we obey, and the voice of the Lord. Let's leave it at this. We are respectful people who honor and respect authority. But I will tell you that I would rather be counted as someone who has been with Jesus and is speaking the word of Jesus, okay, than anything else in my life, no matter what comes. And we'll be tested with that. So let's listen to the Spirit of God. Because the Lord says we can, and we need to rise up, beloved. Those of us who know you, Jesus, need to rise up and be led by everything you do, everything you say.
Yes, God.
I'm not against staying away 6 feet from people, not against that. Please don't misunderstand me. What I'm saying is Jesus right here tested Peter himself, and here's what he said. He said in verse 23, this is Jesus Christ. This is the one we sing to, sing about. This is what Jesus said. But I want to read the whole verse, not just what you're thinking, maybe, oh, get behind me, Satan. Yeah, I've heard that. No, no, there's more. Listen carefully to this. But he turned and he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. He was speaking to the Spirit and saying, get behind me. I am in front. I am the one who's going to the cross. I am the one who will be buried. I am the one who will be raised from the dead. I, not you, not you. This had to shake Peter a lot. He says, you are a stumbling block. Whoa. I can't even imagine hearing that, but I want to hear that in the Spirit. Okay, if I'm a stumbling block, or what I say and what I do, I'm a stumbling block to someone discovering Jesus. I'm a stumbling block, or can be, for someone who needs to encounter the Lord by what I say, what I do, what I don't say, what I don't do. That just rivets my heart. My heart is riveted inside. You are a stumbling block to me. For you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. Can I read that again? I don't know. That's just some reason today. Verse 23 really hits. But he turned. Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, turns to Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. For you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's interests. Our marching orders to be able to share the gospel all over the world, as Mike was saying, to be able to go and be sent out to fulfill the Great Commission, it begins with loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. Period. First commandment. It begins there. It doesn't begin with love your neighbor as yourself. No, no, no. That's the world's way. It begins with love the Lord your God.
Yes, Lord.
With all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. That's our great love commandment from the one who just loved Peter so much, the one who was going to go to the cross, the one who soon was going to die for each one of us, the one who was risen from the dead, who's alive. He's the one that said, get behind me. Do not even think that I would be moved or listen to anything that would not be straight from God's heart. That's where we need to live. That's what we pray for our government. That's what we pray for our families. That's what we mean when we say, Lord, I love you before I love my family. Which might shake anyone listening thinking she's not about family. Not true. She's not putting family first. True. But only in the context of this. I love you, Lord. I love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. And that's what he's calling for all of us. And some of us may suffer great, great loss as a result of loving Jesus that much. But he's worth it, beloved. He's worth it. And when you love the Lord with everything inside, others eventually will see. They'll see, hopefully not you, but they'll see Jesus. Because that love will capture every heart that is loving him and broken before him. That's why we break bread today. That's why we drink of the cup today. Because Jesus himself says the words, he says, you are a stumbling block to me, but you, because you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's interests. And I think Peter loved Jesus as his very best friend on the earth, his closest comrade. But still, Jesus spoke to him and still said, get behind me, because those words are not words to advance my kingdom.
That's right.
They're not words to advance who I am to become to every person in the world. And Peter, I need you. I need you to know my love. And if you think the wrong way, you're missing out, Peter.
That's right.
On my love. You're missing out. You do not know who I really am. So that's where we are in a point of discovery right now. I just want you to turn to Matthew 28, 1 through 10, if you would. Mike referred to this beautiful scripture for the Great Commission, for sure. And I'm going to read as we turn to Matthew 28. I had one more scripture, verse 1, 1 Peter 2, 7 and 8. So I just wanted to read this in the scriptures to you, if you can turn there. 1 Peter 2, 7 and 8. This is, again, bringing the Old Testament into the New, which we love to do here. We're living stones. The entire passage of 1 Peter 2 is so great, and 4 through 8 is actually most helpful. So let me read that, and then the emphasis for this moment will be on 7 and 8. But verse 4 reads, "And coming to him, coming as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but it is choice and precious in the sight of God. For also you, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And when Jesus says to us through Romans, he speaks a better word all through the scripture, and he says, "Oh, beloved brethren," he says, "I urge you by the mercies of God," this is Paul, of course, "present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of worship and service. And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you would know that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Those are our marching orders, beloved. We're living stones. We are kings. We are priests because of the great and mighty King and our holy high priest. He has made us kings and priests through his death, through his burial, through his resurrection. We need to live in a holy, acceptable life to be able to loose everything that he paid a big price for from heaven, because we want to honor our King above all. King Jesus, to you be all glory, be all honor, be all praise, be all worship and dominion. Verse 6 reads, "For this is contained in Scripture." This is again Isaiah. This is foretelling what was spoken in Isaiah. "Behold, I lay in Zion," and also in Zechariah, "I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed." So today, as you're receiving all of this fresh manna, you will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed. The Lord is freeing many of us today. He's pushing darkness out. Yes. He's pushing disappointment and discouragement and depression and fear out. The great exchange that took place at the cross is coming right now into you. Just say yes. Just receive this blessing from the Word of God, from the very Spirit of the living God. Verse 7, "This precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve," quote, "the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone," Jesus Christ. And verse 8, "a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were appointed." That's not us, beloved. I believe you've tuned in to not be disappointed, to not be doomed in any way. This is a great message of hope. This is a message that if we have been stumbling over Jesus, just look up. Jesus says, "I'm here, my beloved. I have made myself known to you." We cannot speak of him like this other than him living inside of us.
That's right.
The passion,
thank you, Lord,
the fire of God inside is meant to be birthed and to come out and to go all around the world. thrusting us forward, ekboling us forward, ekbolo, thrust us, God, into the place, the deepest, darkest places, to be able to be your mouthpiece, your hands and your feet. For I want to know you and the power of your resurrection, Lord, and share in the fellowship of your sufferings, Jesus, whatever it takes. I don't want my life to be my own. And when you have purchased me, my life is not my own. My life is not my own. My life is not my own. Oh God, you are so faithful. You are so great. You are so, so wonderful. And interestingly, beloved, let me just say to you that after Jesus spoke to Peter, telling him, rebuking him for his good to bring him on the page of not being disappointed, he also said, if anyone wishes to come after me, these are Jesus' words. He said it right after. He said, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You've got man's way instead of God's way moving forward in you. Stop it. Stop it. It won't be kind and loving and good for you, because you will have put yourself into the hands of the one who torments you. You will have put yourself into the hands of the one I want to set you free from on the cross.
That's right.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
That's right.
Don't do it. Don't be led by man. Be led by me. Don't be led by anything other than me.
That's right.
My spirit, I'm telling you. And then he goes on to tell everyone who was listening, not just Peter, who just had to be completely overtaken by the love and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus was so sure that he wanted Peter to not fall and not stumble, although he was stumbling at the moment. He says, Peter, you've got to rise up. So that as you're stumbling over me, which is okay, that you see me. Okay? So if we start stumbling over who Jesus really is, then the Lord says, that's okay, I'm a stumbling block. Now, look up so you don't fall. I will keep you from completely falling. Keep your eyes. Look up. Look up. So here's what he says. He says, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must. Must, that's a big word. He must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He hadn't even gone to the cross yet. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.
That's right.
Oh. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, beloved? Think about that right now. Think about who matters, what matters, who needs to be first, where Christ needs to be in our life. He has to be in first place.
That's
he
right.
has to be preeminent. He must be, and it will be tested over and over because God loves us so much. He says, set me as a seal on your arm. Set me as a seal on your heart. My love for you is stronger than death.
That's it.
My love for you is stronger than any fire.
Right.
My love for you is a consuming fire. So set me, consider me, say yes to me, and I will give you everything that you need. So he says in here, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Have you sold your soul? Have you given your mind, your will, your emotions over to something else? Something that you thought would speak a better word? Give it back to the Lord.
That's right.
Say, no, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Jesus. I have been led by my mind. I have been led by my will. I have been led by my family, by my emotions. I've not taken that step to say, what do you say? Who are you?
That's it.
We have to be led by you. The word is right here. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul, his mind, his will, his emotions, his body? The Lord says, don't forfeit your soul.
No.
Give everything to me, and I will release you into a place of being completely saturated by my yoke and my control, so that you will think my thoughts, you will feel my feelings, you will understand my ways, because my ways are better and higher than yours.
Yes.
He says, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What will you give? Wow. Think about that. Verse 27, for the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Surely and truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Let's be in that company of people that we have life. We have spiritual life, and our life is not our own, and that we're willing to count the cost and pay the price. And any fear that we have inside of us will not be fear of anyone, anything, any system, any person, any circumstance, any disease, anything that is said or done will not have authority over us.
Lord.
Do not fool yourself. Yeah. Be freed of any of that control and be filled with the fear of our awesome God.
That's
be
right.
filled with
Thank
the power
you,
and the fear and the authority of our Most High God
Thank
on
you,
this
Lord.
Resurrection Sunday. And now we're going to finish in Matthew 28, which is what I said to turn to. We're getting there. But Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10, as we close here. We want to focus here, but then we'll close. Matthew 28, in my Bible it says, Jesus is risen. So today, Jesus is alive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after the Sabbath, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look for the grave. And behold, now think of everything we've said about stones being living, breathing stones, everything we've said about stumbling block, everything we've said about Jesus is the rock of offense. He's the stone that makes men stumble, the rock that makes men fall. He's making us. We don't have a choice because every knee will bow
That's
and
right.
every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why not now? So that we can also be saved from ourselves and we can make a difference. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. Jesus lay bare naked virtually on the cross and was disfigured, as Bill was saying. He put himself out there and completely, 100%, gave himself. And he's saying, here's my life. Here's my life. Do you want genuine faith? Do you want authentic faith to be birthed in you, to be raised up in you? It's time, beloved. Listen to these words. They're just so deep. Verse 2, and behold, a severe earthquake had occurred. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat on it. I love it. The angel came and rolled away the stone. The angel came and did what no man was able to do. And the very Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead. And the angel moved that stone out of the way. Nothing was going to stop what Jesus was about to do. Nothing was going to stop whatever had just happened. This was just part of the process. This is part of walking out. Jesus was raised from the dead. He wasn't raised when the stone moved. He was raised when he was raised. And then the angel moved the stone and Jesus came forward. Wow. Think about that progression and think about what the Lord is saying to us to live this kind of supernatural life. Oh, and his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. Our lightning one, our thundering one, who's coming back in glory. He's coming back as the Lion of Judah. He's alive now. He's not a lamb that was slain on the altar anymore. He is in position, but he has risen up. He is the Lamb who has risen. He is now alive. His appearance was like lightning. His clothing is white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. We're to shake right in our boots like, oh my gosh, this is the Jesus of the universe. This is the King of eternity that has done this for us. This is the
Lord.
King who says, will you believe me? Will you receive me today and become like a dead man? You don't let anything overtake you. In other words, beloved, offer yourself wholeheartedly to the Lord, and He will bring you into that place of completely dying, because it's already happened on the cross. And He's saying, will you die for me so that I can raise you to new life? Will you die to yourself? If you die to yourself and stay dead as I enable you to stay dead, you will walk in this resurrection fire, power, and life, and others will see you. You won't shrink back, and you'll have something to say. Those of you who have compromised, those of you who have sold your soul, those of you who have cowered in the place of people intimidating you and thinking, I'm just going to be one up there, one up on them, so that I've got this. No, no, no. The Lord says, I've got this. And He said, I've got this. He says, turn your hearts towards me now, beloved. Turn your hearts towards me so that I can fill you with who I am, fill you with my power, fill you with my peace, fill you with my miracle working joy and power. I will do it. This is our God. Wow. The angel said to the women, don't be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who's been crucified. Are we looking for Jesus who's been crucified? Are we looking? Jesus, where are you? Jesus, I need to know you. Jesus, I want to know you. Jesus, here I am. Right where you are. Hopefully you're being stirred. Hopefully your hearts are just being ripped wide open and stirred with the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord. Where are you, Jesus? I'm here. Here's my little life. I give it to you. I give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I give you everything, Jesus, because you are King. I am not. I'm just your little child. And I turn away from any darkness. I turn away from any thought. I turn away from any idea. I turn away from being filled with the spirit of dull. The Lord says, I will remove that from you now, and I will replace that with a spirit of hope, a spirit of life, a spirit of joy, a spirit of whatever you say, Jesus, I'm there, I'm all in. Count me in. I will follow you. Yes. I will love you. Yes. I will serve you my entire life.
Yes.
Because you're worth it, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Because I see you. I see you. I see you in your glory, Jesus. Ooh. He is not here, verse 6, for He has risen just as He said. He doesn't lie. Quit blaming people. See the tormentor for who He really is. Put your eyes on Jesus. Let's humble ourselves before the King. Let's realize who our real enemy is. Our real enemy is not a flesh and blood. Our real enemy tried to take Jesus' life, but he couldn't, because Jesus laid himself down for us as the spotless lamb. He is not here, verse 6. He has risen just as he said, come, see the place where he was lying. Jesus always wanted to let people go into the place of answering their questions. Because I can imagine they were in disbelief. Like, what? Huh? Say what? Come, see. Come, you'll see. I know I'm saying these words to you, but come, see. The Lord is inviting us to His banqueting table. He says, come, break bread with me and see. Come, see. Come and encounter me. You will see. You will not be disappointed. Verse 7, go quickly and tell the disciples that He has risen from the dead. And behold, He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There, you will see Him. Behold, I have told you. You will see Him. Today is a day, beloved, that you will see the Lord in a new way.
Yes, Lord.
In your homes. You will see the Lord. You will see Him. You will know Him. You will feel Him. His power and His presence shall overtake you. And behold, in verse 9, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and Verse 8. And they left the tomb quickly with fear of God and great joy and ran to report to his disciples. Let me read that verse again. They left the tomb quickly. So once we are taken out of the grave and we're released from the tomb, what do we do? What are we supposed to do? Jesus says, take off the grave clothes. You've been released. What did these people do? They left the tomb quickly with fear of God, with great joy, and they ran to report to his disciples. So they're filled with joy. They're filled with great awe and fear of God, and they ran to release that report.
Yeah.
This is what we're called to do. We have to tell. We have to share. We don't hold back anything. Verse 9, and behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet, and they worshiped him. And then finally, beloved, then Jesus said, do not be afraid. Jesus' words to us, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of anything. Don't be afraid. Don't live in the world's ways. Do not be afraid. Go. The first go. Go and take the word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me. Go.
Go.
Do not be afraid. Go. So we're going to pray right now as we close this service on Easter Sunday. And we're just going to trust that the Lord will have his way with us. We can have just a little back up. Lord, we just trust you right now, and we're believing that today is the day that you have for us. Today is a day of new beginnings. Today is a day of resurrection power and resurrection life, Lord, to be able to be released to every person who's listening, that every barrier between you and them right now, Lord Jesus, you've already removed at the cross. You've already taken the punishment that we deserve through your death and then going into hell. And 3 days later being raised from the dead to new life. So today, Lord Jesus, we're calling on you, O courageous one, O God. We're calling on you, sweet Jesus, to crash into our worlds right now. By your Spirit, O Jesus, come. Come, Heavenly One. Come and overtake everyone who's listening. Everyone who wants to experience you. Everyone who wants to encounter you. Release them all, God, from the satanic oppressor, God. Release them all from the father of lies. Release them all because you did it at the cross and you did it by raising from the dead for new life. Release everyone today, God, who's listening, to celebrate you wholeheartedly, to thank you, and to experience that newness of life on the inside, to experience that freedom in their minds, freedom in their hearts, freedom in their emotions, because you came to set the captives free. You came to completely overwhelm and overtake this world with your love, your peace, your joy, your comfort, your hope. Father, I thank you that every person here would realize that you, Jesus Christ, have said, the Spirit of the Lord has been upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed and bruised, and to rejoice in the year of the Lord and to speak that out. So I thank you, Father, for the fulfillment of Luke 4:18-19 that's found in you, Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, that you are the repairer of the breach. And where there's been any kind of need for reconciliation or restoration, God, any place where there's been offense, Lord, you have called all people to release offense and to release themselves and others that they have not forgiven and not set free. So we call on you, O forgiving one, to take upon your heart, God, the need that we have to experience your deep forgiveness for walking in the sinful ways that you have said that we do and we have. Lord, that you would exchange our old nature, the old man, for a new nature that we would have a new created nature, that the new man would be our portion, and that we would live in light of that genuine faith that you've given us according to 2 Peter 1. Everything pertaining to life and godliness has been given to us, Lord, through your sacrifice, through your death, burial, and your resurrection, because you're the firstborn among every brethren, many brethren, you're the firstborn. So we say that everybody today would say, Jesus, I come into your family, and I say, I leave religion behind. I leave my thinking, my way of thinking, my way of doing, my way of expecting, my way. I leave it behind. I ask you to crush it under the power of everything that you experienced at the cross, and crush it with the power of the risen Savior's love and light that came with thundering love and power. I ask for that crushing power right now to come. Set the captives free, Lord. Set all of us free to be able to walk in the perfection, the maturity that you have for us, God. Thank you, Lord, for your ways are so much higher. We receive that new life today. Now, beloved, I'm going to pray that we would be filled with the Spirit of God. We need to be filled with the power and the Spirit of God to be able to loose what belongs to everyone if they will receive and step in. We need his power. Jesus is the baptizer of the Spirit. Jesus says, I come to immerse my children in the power of God, in the power, the heavenly power, the dunamis power of God, because of my blood. So right now, Holy Spirit, we just say, come. We just say, come and overtake all your children, God, and those who need to be swept in to experience a fresh outpouring and a fresh new baptism and immersion in the power of the Most High God. We baptize you in the name of Jesus, in the Spirit of God, because he said, John the Baptist said, someone greater than me is coming. Someone who I'm not even fit to tie their sandals. He says he's coming with a winnowing fork and with fire, and will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. So I release that baptism of fire right where you are in your houses. I release the baptism of fire in the Holy Ghost to come upon you and be released everywhere. All the children, all the older people, middle age and youth, young adults, doesn't matter. The Lord says, I am who I am. I am has spoken. I am spoke to Moses, and Moses said, let my people go. So the great I am is here today saying, let God's people go. You are here, Yahweh. You are here, Jehovah God. You are here, Lion of Judah. You are here, Yeshua HaMashiach. You are here. Whoa. For everyone who's listening, just receive by faith just healing into your bodies right now, the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Release healing. There is no cancer in heaven. Cancer is from the pit of hell. Do not for one second believe that God's gracing you with cancer. No, cancer is arch enemy, coronavirus arch enemy. So we break the power of cancer. We break the power of every malady, every sickness and disease that Jesus paid a big price for because of you, Jesus, and because of anything we say. So we break that power. We cancel that assignment over the beloved who are listening. Put your hand on your body and say, I receive my deliverance. I receive my healing. I receive my salvation. I receive my wholeness from you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Be healed, be whole, be filled with joy, hope, and peace, and come up out of the grave. Throw those grave clothes off and step into the newness of life, because your life depends on it. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Be blessed. We'll see you again. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.